Hey guys, this is Bruce Beeland. I am on the road and have turned this down a little bit. And was unable to get out of live stream today for church. I want to spend a few minutes with you because I know there are several of you that depend on this. This is your weekly meal. I hope you eat more than that, but other places. But guys, it's been a very eventful 2 or 3 days. I went on a little road trip, and I've been wanting to investigate. Some of you guys know about Tatasi, this picture I found in Caddo history that appears to look exactly like me, kind of a cross between me and my Uncle Henry. And first time Kim saw it, she looked at it and said, "How'd you do that?" But actually, it's kind of interesting looking. But I went to Binger, Oklahoma, and did some research there. And he, Tatasi, did end up there. He did get his allotment with Caddo, and I did not find his grave. But spent some time with my daughter Sarah and Abby, and we hung out for a couple of days and talked about being born and being raised up in South Arkansas, and told them stories of the Beelands and Brumleys. Had a good time. And then today I got to worship with some folks that I really love and appreciate. And so, but for us today, I want us to talk about, I'm not going to stay in Matthew, but I'm going to talk about Matthew, if that makes any sense. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. I'm going to call this Matthew the tax collector. Because guys, I just want you to kind of get a quick snippet of what it would have been like to be a tax collector in the Jewish culture of that time. Guys, I just can't imagine. Whatever you think isolates you or separates you or shines a light on you in a negative sense, if you multiply that 10 times, you would know how Matthew felt around other Jewish people. He was a traitor. He was a traitor. And that's the way he was seen. And I'm not calling him a traitor. I'm saying that was the perception of that day. He was hated. He was put in the same category as the Samaritans. He was put in the same category as the Gentiles. He was put in the category of the leper. I mean, just people you don't want to be around, guys. That's what he was. And I want you to think about this as I read it. After these things, and Jesus has been with his ministry, he has been healing and talking to people. It says, after these things, 5 and 27. We're in Luke now. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he, Jesus, said to Levi, hear these words, follow me. He did not say, get your stuff straight. He did not say, I can't believe that you're such a traitor. I can't believe, look the way everybody's looking at you. You should be ashamed of yourself. All of the things that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the pure one, could have said. Follow me. That's what you say to people that you want to be with. Let's break it down to us. Come on, get in the truck. Let's go get a cup of coffee. You don't say that to somebody that you don't want to be around. Jesus saw Matthew for who he was, not for who or what he had done or was doing or was the opinion of the crowd. And he left, rose up, and followed him. And I want to tell you that as I was studying this again, I was looking at it last night and this morning or whenever it was, as I was looking at that again, we show up to the world, to people that the whole world is kicking down, pushing down, you're this, you're that, you're in this category, you're in that category. We show up to them and we start handing them our list of religion, do's and don'ts and blah, 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 all of this stuff. We start handing that to them and saying, this is the answer. And we wonder why people wad it up and throw it back at us. You wonder why everybody, not everyone, but a lot of people I talk to about church says all the things, all it's, church is a business. That's what they say. Church is a business. Church, oh, they want my money. They want this. They want to build a bigger building. They want to, we wonder why they say that when we say, we've got the answer. Here's this list of rules and regulations. I want to tell you something. Jesus said, hey, follow me. And I want to tell you, as I saw that last night or this morning or whenever it was, early morning, when I was looking at that, I was like, God, what have we done? We've taken the gospel, the precious, wonderful news of Jesus Christ and his salvation for humankind and reduced it to a laundry list of do's and don'ts, and now you can be in our club. I want you to pray about that. I want you to pray about that. So, he left and rose up and followed him because nobody else wanted to be with him. And he was probably rich, and we're going to get into that in a minute. He was probably rich. He was probably, you know, because he talks about he'll pay back what he took. I mean, here's the deal, guys. It wasn't things that made him work. It wasn't getting the third garage. It wasn't getting the higher handlebars. It wasn't getting the faster horse. It wasn't getting a nicer truck. It wasn't those things. It wasn't getting the better gun. It wasn't any of those things. It was because we all have a deep down need and desire for relationship. And we look for it everywhere else. And running faster, jumping higher. And here's the deal. Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. So they are having a get together. This is like if we called all of the different people, and I hesitate to put people in categories because it makes people nervous, but I'll just say this. This is like if you called whoever is the opposite of whatever your lifestyle, whatever, and you said, hey, I am having a banquet. Come on, come get some of this chicken. We're going to have a bonfire. Come get some of this. We're going to spend some time together. And Matthew did that. All of these tax collectors, all these folks come and they are learning, leaning, absorbing the reality of Christ. And then what happens? Religion. This is what happens. The next thing that happens. But the scribes and the Pharisees, okay, murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why are you doing this? Because this is about rules. This is about regulations. This is about who you vote for. This is about how you do this, how you do this. You're not doing it right. These guys are traitors. They're not doing it like us. And everybody is trying to find a way they're a little bit better than somebody else. And Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well do not need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I'm going to tell you something. I guess it's been probably 10 years ago. I've now been at Cranes Christian Church literally this month, or it's, I think it's November. I will have been there for 20 years. So I'm just going to guess 10 years ago. I spent weeks, and then it turned into months, and then it became into a theme on this next part of this chapter. And verse 36, he says, then he put a parable to them, saying, no one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and that piece was taken out of the new, does not match the old. No one puts new wine, that would be unfermented, unexpanded, new stuff, just pressed out, okay, into old wineskins, because they're inflexible, and as it swells, and look what it says, else the new wine will be spilled, and all the, and the wineskins. I guess you know where I'm at now, because it got too hot. So, anyway, are we live? Yeah, we're live again. Okay, we're live. We got a few coming back on here. Alright. So, as I'm saying, as we're going there, I'll move it back up this way a little bit. Let's try to pull off. I'm in the truck. Since when you know you're old, when you look at your phone, you can take more than your phone can. So anyway, so here's the deal. As he says these things, it says, you know what? It's going to have to be put in new. And as you look at it, as you look at what he's talking about, you literally see that he is talking about it. We've been in Matthew, back to where I kind of got my train of thought back. Okay, literally, Jesus is after the Beatitudes, and then he says these words. He says, there's a new thinking. You said, you know, you've been Moses says this is wrong, but I'm going to tell you, that's just a picture of the heart matter underneath that. As you go that, he goes deeper, like lust instead of adultery, and hatred instead of murder, and all those things. He goes deeper, and the purpose for that, and I've said this 2 weeks in a row, is this. The purpose of that, okay, is so that you can know that you can't do it. Because up to that point, essentially, what they had been taught is, we can do it. If we try hard enough, we can do it. And if we mess up a little bit, we can do a sacrifice and fix it. But here's the deal, guys. You can't do it. Salvation belongs to the Lord. God saves us, not we ourselves. We're just sheep. Okay? But so watch this. And no one, having drunk the old wine, immediately desires the new, for he says, the old is better. And guys, just think about this for a minute. Literally. The old wine, where he was at right then, was the Jewish religious Pharisees, Sadducees, priests, protocol, what they did. The whole law of Moses, all of that was the old wineskin. And here's the deal. As they tried to make that work with grace and make that work with hanging out with people that you're not supposed to hang out with and all that, it was tearing up their thought process. It was tearing up their wineskin. But what happened was, is Jesus literally says, I put in a new wineskin. And that new wineskin, guys, is a place of grace. And as we've been digging through Ephesians, Galatians, as we're looking, and you know, I love the scripture I was looking at earlier today where it says, you know, you're no longer slaves, but you're children of the Most High God. And I want to tell you, I love my children. I've got 4 biological children. I've got other children by covenant that I just, they're mine. They're mine. That I love them. I've got grandchildren by blood. I've got grandchildren by covenant. I love them. And here's the deal. Some of them are my blood. Some of them are, that they're just ours. And then there's the people in our body of Christ that we just love. And it's something that's, there's no blood, but it's spirit. It's spirit. There's covenant. There's blood. And here's the deal. God showed me. He said, what do you want for them? What do you want for those people you love? What do you want? And I said, Lord, I want them to be successful, healthy. I want them to have everything they need. I want them, I mean, J.O. Beeland, I am sitting 40 yards from Mom and Dad's gravestone. And they got the little picture on it. And I'm sitting here, and I'm going to tell you something. My dad was not the perfect dad. He was a good dad, but he was not the perfect dad, because he ain't perfect. But my dad, every time we ever spoke in person or on the phone after I left home, every time, and I can't say 100%, but 90, yeah, this is what I remember at the end of every conversation, he would say 2 things. He'd say, Bruce, do you need anything? Because my dad knew what it was like to be without. And there was times my dad and mama hit me. And there was times that I said, no, sir, we're golden up here in Missouri, or when I was in Texas or wherever, we're gold. I mean, it's all good. Okay, as long as you holler at us, you need anything. And see that love, and he'd always tell me he loved me. And here's the deal. That love is a practical love. And God's love for us is practical. And see, what we will do is we will not believe that he loves us the way he loved Levi, who was Matthew. He couldn't love us where we're at. He couldn't love us. Listen, you love your kids. That's what happens. And you say, well, if he loves me, then why did this happen? If he loves me, why did this happen? Listen, this is not a sense to be ugly. I don't know. I don't know. You know, God and I have had some strong words in the last 50 years about, God, why did this happen? What does this mean? What does this mean? Well, you know, but here's the deal. He's never left me or forsaken me. And right here, I just want to get the point across. That here's the deal. He literally says these words to these guys as they're complaining about eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus answered them and said, those who are well don't need a doctor. Those who are well don't need a doctor. I've got a good friend who is a doctor. I have a friend who's a nurse practitioner. I have friends who are medical. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I see them, hey, how are y'all, you know? But I don't make an appointment unless I need a doctor. And there's, you know, once a year I go in there and get checked and all that. But anyway, but the point being is we need a doctor. Sin has left us blind, crippled, and crazy. And we have the great physician who has paid the price, the ultimate price, for his children, so that we can be everything he's called us to be. And I want to tell you something. I'm about tired of people who don't believe that. And I don't care. You believe what you want to. You take your football and go home. But I want to tell you something. God wants the very best for you. He loves you. desires a relationship with you. And listen, try to follow the rules. I planted some seeds today. I plant seeds everywhere I go of kindness and of grace and of mercy and of love. And that goes, that's what I, and it grows up, and then I can pick that off and eat it. It's not brain surgery. I couldn't do it. And I'm just telling you, trust him today. And I want to tell you, if you feel like a Pharisee, if you feel like a, there's two things I want to ask you. Number one, you may feel like a tax collector or a sinner today. And he's telling you something today, two words. This is Jesus talking, his amen. Follow me. Seek him while he may be found. I'm telling you, he loves you. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Open that door and let me in. He's calling to you right now. He loves you. And here's the deal. It don't ever look like you thought it was going to look. Life is not for chickens. And no disrespect to any roosters that are watching. But here's the deal. Life ain't easy. There used to be a t-shirt saying it ain't easy being fat, dumb, and greasy. But here's the deal. I've had a good life. My life with God has been good to me. He's surrounded good people, great family, you know, all that. He's provided for me. But I'll tell you something, life ain't easy. It ain't easy. It ain't easy for anybody. And everybody has periods of struggle and periods of all those things. But here's the deal. We started out in a garden. Humankind started out in a garden. We had everything we needed. Everything we needed. And the enemy comes along and says, I don't think you got everything you need. I think God's lying to you. You need to go ahead and take this. Like he said, don't touch. Don't eat this. And we believed in it. Because we wanted more. And I want to tell you something. It's messed us up. But that same lie is being told to you today. God's just not enough. What he tells you is not true. His love can't be that great. He can't be that loving. He can't. Listen, God is love. He's not going to tell us to do something to one another that he ain't already doing. He says we need to be patient and kind and loving to you. Some of y'all, it's easier than others. And that's kind of a joke. But anyway, but the reality is, he's not going to tell you to do something he did or hadn't already done. And he loves you. And he died for you. And he wants the best for you. Believe me when I say that. Lay down your religion. Pick up the relationship with Jesus Christ. Talk to him today. Say, Lord, I need you. There used to be a song that sang, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Lord, I need you. And I do. I need you. And here's the deal. He has never failed me. He's never forsaken me. And he will never forsake you. And here's the deal. Literally, from that garden, humankind is going to the next garden, and it's going to be a wonderful garden. Me and Kim have some jokes that we tell each other as we've gone through life, and there are some places that I like to go that she don't like to go, and I call it the garden spot, okay? Well, I'm going to tell you something, there is for real a garden spot that everybody wants to be, and it heaven. And I want to tell you something. My mom and daddy's remains is right out here. My grandma's remains, my uncles, my granddaddy's, my grandma's. I'm looking at them top of the ground right now where they're at. And I want to tell you something. They're not struggling today. They're not trying to get higher handlebars and louder pipes to look cooler than anybody else. I want to tell you what they're doing is they're enjoying the presence, the uninhibited presence of God. That's where he wants to spend with you. This life, you may have 40 years, 60 years, 80 years. Some of you, I've got friends that are in their 90s, and, you know, they're putting right along. But it's going to be, it's like a vapor. And then we will be with him forever. So if you say, you know what, I don't think God can do that. I wrote this down today during a song. I want to tell you something. Our God turns graves into gardens. He will take the dead things of your life, the things that you thought were the very worst, he will take them literally and make them shine for him. Remember when I said, I have literally proclaimed this over different times and places in my life. He told the prophet, he said, you see them bones? Prophesy to them bones, and they became an army. Do you see that? God turned, listen, he took dirt and made humankind, so he can do a lot with a bone. He can do a lot. I mean, he's God, okay? And here's the deal. He turned seas into highways. Moses was obedient, scared to death, just like we all are. If you're a little bit scared, there's something wrong with you. But I'm going to tell you something. He begins to pray, and that water rolls back, and it turned into a highway, dry land, and it consumed their enemies. That's our God. That's in his love. That's in his grace, in his mercy. That's the way he treats his kids. And here's the deal. I want to tell you, last thing, and I'll be able to turn air down a little bit. But I will tell you this. I have true, total faith and confidence in what I'm about to say. The price that Jesus paid on the cross is enough. And the reason I know it's enough is because he said it was enough. Telatestai. It's paid for. It's paid for. The redemption has been completed. Get, be a part of the world that he is redeeming now. He's going to make a new world. This is all going to get straightened out at some point. But be a part of what he's doing now. Surrender to him. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You don't have to tell him about which ones, because he knows. I'm greedy. I'm self-centered. That's just a couple of them that's right on the top. But Lord, in the middle of that, you said, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And Lord, we do that again. I re-establish my covenant with you this morning, oh God. Let me be your man. Help me, Lord, to say what you want me to say, to do what you want me to do, to be where you want me to be. Because, Lord, you know how I am. And if you're watching today, or you're watching this in 6 months or 6 years from now, it'll be on the interweb, and it'll be at theoldlawdog.com website. You can listen to it as a podcast, audio blog, blah, blah, blah. And just pray this prayer with me. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. I believe that you paid the price for me. God, thank you for this time together with these folks. You're good to us, God. You're so good to us, God. Do with us what you will. Lord, thank you for saying, follow me. Here I come. Christ. You guys have a good day. I don't know how long it was, but I better quit. It's a lot of slack work. God bless you. Keep you. His light shining. Give you peace. Stay in air conditioning. God bless you.